Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the On The Box podcast, a television show podcast on the Anfield Index podcast channel. And today we're discussing, well, one of my favourite shows on television. And I only got introduced to this end of 2016 and I binge watched it. Black Mirror seasons 1 to 3, all on Netflix now, started in channel 4. And last year I covered this. It's been around a year and 2 weeks, or a year and a week to the day, since the last episode came out on the Box podcast. And I covered it with the same person that I've got on today. It's a regular contributor to Anfield Index on the Fantasy Football podcast and plenty of non-football entertainment shows as well. It's Simon Dowling, also known as Hefty Horse, as Nina calls you. That's how she knows you. It's, oh, Hefty Horse was on. How you doing, Si? You okay?
I'm fantastic, yeah, very good. I'm still buzzed up from that match last week, and also very excited to talk about these amazing episodes of Black Mirror.
Yeah, man, I mean, this season, what we're going to say first, I mean, great to have you back, Si, and I only want to talk to you about this because you did it last time with me and we had a good time. Bloody hell, I think we did 3 hours, something like that, something stupid anyway.
Yeah, so, it just kept on going. And
we went through each episode in depth. We're not going to do that. We're going to talk about what we liked about them, because obviously, if you're listening to this, you've watched them. Now, if you haven't watched them and you want to know what Black Mirror is all about, I would go and listen to those pods. Best thing to do is go and download the AI Channel app. Okay, on iOS or on Android, and you can go to the shows section and then go to non-NFC and then just scroll down to On The Box and all of our pods are in there. And if you go back to last February, on the 10th and the 14th, we released series 1 and 2, a podcast in series 1 and 2 and a podcast in series 3. So we pretty much, you know, we were talking for 81 minutes and 78 minutes. So there you go. Nearly 3 hours on those three seasons. So we're going to try and cover this season in the next hour. And if you want to know more about it, you know, it's all about the future, dystopian futures and technologies, very sci-fi type, and sends a message. Most episodes will send some kind of a message or make you think, really, really make you think. So, right. Sorry, we're not going to do any more previews. We're going to go straight into it. We're going to go through in the order that Netflix put them on. And so season 4, episode 1 was the USS Callister. Now, obviously, they don't do any previews, do they, of these shows when they come out? They just say USS Callister. You think, okay, this would be interesting. Something Star Trek type, you know. But, oh my God, this was one of the longest ones as well they've done, isn't it? It was like 1 hour and 20 minutes
or something.
Yeah, it's like a movie.
A film almost, yeah.
And I felt like that as well. By the way, I loved it. What were your initial thoughts on this episode?
I thought it was fantastic. I mean, it basically opens up with what looks like a thing that was filmed like 30 or 40 years ago. A scene on a very obviously Star Trek-esque ship with all the same kind of people and stuff on, and I was just like, what the hell is going on? I'm like, they've just went in a completely new direction. And then obviously as a few minutes pass, you're thinking they're acting a little bit weird. They're hamming it up even more than they should be. And then the captain just starts to kiss all the women on the ship and they're singing him a song. And then it just cuts to him and it's like, okay, look, I just thought it just completely grabs your attention instantly. And you're just like, ah, it's like a whole new world for him. You know, it was very good, very unique idea.
Yeah, I thought the premise of it was amazing. They used the cookie again, isn't it? It's the cookie that comes back from White Christmas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, and obviously now it's in the wrong hands, and you do actually feel sorry for him.
Oh, I felt so bad for him at first.
You know,
yeah,
at first, like, you feel really sorry for him because he is, in the story, the way the dialogues go and stuff, he's obviously creating, what was the thing called? Infinity.
Yeah.
He's creating software called Infinity, which allows you to virtually enter a world, pretty much.
So I think it was kind of like a online open world, kind of a multiplayer game that it's like a virtual reality.
Yeah, yeah, it is VR. It's basically a VR, pretty much an amazing VR where you feel it and it's real. So anyway, what you get to know is all of his staff members and everything are all about, and he's not been treated well by his partner, who's pretty much taken all the credit for it. And he's the designer. He's the master designer. And the role is played by Jesse Plemons from, Friday Night Lights. Really good. What did you call him?
He just looks like Matt Damon.
Yeah,
he's
yeah,
the
that's
Matt
him.
Damon clone. He's like the uploaded version of Matt Damon into virtual reality. That's what he is.
And then Kristen Milioti plays the other lead role, who's from How I Met Your Mother. And she was superb in this.
Yeah, she's fantastic, isn't she?
Yeah, brilliant. She's a hacker, and she's kind of like a nerd that comes into the show. She's obsessed with him. She thinks he's great, but then obviously she's warned off, and he's such a a slimy guy. He's listening, isn't he?
Yeah, he's really like, he kind of plays that, just you can just tell he's, you know, everyone there just hates him. He's very looked down upon, but he's like the mind. He is the whole thing. Like, he's this master coder, but he's just so creepy. Just the way he just constantly leers at people the whole time, and he's spying on them. And but I felt bad for him. But you know, when you're watching Black Mirror, that this guy's got to do something. You know, you're just waiting for it almost.
And what I can't remember, what did he do to get her DNA?
He just took her cup from the bin.
That was it.
Brought it home then, so yeah.
Oh, man. So this guy is a twat where all he needs, so this cookie development, if you watched White Christmas, it's gone a bit easier now. All you need is a little strand of DNA. So he can just get it from anything, a not finished off sandwich, a lollipop, you know, anything that you've chucked away, he can just pick up, bring into his little machine, and he's got an amazing apartment. That's one thing I loved. I love watching him eat pizza, man. I thought it was cool. Like, I want to be like that. I want to have like all this set up, and it's a bit lonely though, isn't it?
That's the whole thing. Yeah. He's just kind of like, you can, obviously he's made a shit ton of money from this thing. He has that amazing apartment, and he's completely obsessed with that show Starfleet, which is obviously just, you know, their version of Star Trek. And he's got all like the merch and all the toys and the boxes and posters, and his whole apartment is just filled with like overly expensive Starfleet merchants and things. And yeah,
so they get that across, they get that across, that this all of his work is based on his obsession. Of
even the name of the company is named after the ship, isn't it?
Yeah,
Callister is the name of the
exactly. It's all named after that. It's just mental. And then what he does is he basically, I mean, what I found really interesting was how he then gives them a role. And it's like they're on that, in the captain's, you know, whatever they call it, on deck.
The brig.
They're on the brig. And when she turns up there, which is what they do, and they all just like sitting around chilling. Cause obviously he only comes into the game at night. I found that dead. Like, oh my God, this is like what you felt for her. Cause it's a copy of your conscience, isn't it? Exactly.
That's the thing. Yeah. I guess you have to kind of, I mean, obviously this is all fictionalized, but it's based on stuff that's quite real. But like, you do have to buy into the idea that these people that he uploads are an exact copy. Like, they've got the mind of that person. So they feel like it's actually them. I think that was the same in White Christmas, wasn't it? Where you actually feel like she thinks that's her. So she doesn't understand that she's in the real world as well. So he just makes these things. And the thing that's really fucked up is that they live in that world even when he isn't there. So when he logs off, they still exist.
Yep, exactly.
So they're just constantly in this world, and it's
they've
so
got no private parts.
Crazy.
They got no.
Oh, yeah.
They don't. Oh man, it's just
they can't shit.
Yeah, that was so funny. Yeah, when
you weren't like, I miss taking a shit.
I know. You're taking the pleasure away of having a shit, man. What the hell, you bastard? Like, I found that hilarious. And then he's just a mean bastard when he gets into that world. That's where the it's an alter ego. You can see how confident he is. You can see how vicious he is. You know, like the way she doesn't want to do anything he says when he's in, you know, when they're in the ship, in the brig, and he basically shuts her mouth off. And, but
he,
she can't die.
Turns her face, like, make her have no face or something, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
so
it. Basically,
breathe.
No nose, no eyes, and she can only hear.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And he makes her submit, you know, like, do you give up? Are you going to do? So he has so much control over them in there. I just thought, I was hooked into watching it, you know?
Yeah. It's
and then
brilliant.
It was so clever how she is adamant that she can, you know, hack this machine. How good she is. So it's one of those where, you know, you outsmart your mentor.
Yeah.
And she outsmarts him in the end, doesn't she? And
yeah, she finds a way in by kind of, she kind of just works out that even though his version of Infinity is technically offline, that there is some sort of a link via his own internet. And then there's the whole thing with the update patch, and that kind of allows her to kind of hack in and bribe herself.
I love that. I love that. The use of iCloud.
Yeah.
The use of iCloud. Everything's online. Because obviously that happens in real life. Like, people's iClouds get hacked and their pictures and videos get thrown out onto the internet. Like,
she has all these, like, some night that she had with a person or something, isn't it? There's all these pictures that she doesn't want anyone else to ever see. But I don't understand why she'd have those pictures on her iCloud in the first place.
Well, because what happens is, you know, when you have your photo,
rid of them.
If you've got an iPhone, yeah?
I guess, yeah.
All your photos are backed up onto your iCloud automatically. So if they're on your phone, they're on your iCloud, no matter what. She just left them there. And no one expects their iCloud to get hacked.
I suppose so, yeah.
And plus, she's the only one, remember, who can hack it.
True.
Yeah. And there's only one person else who's got that picture. That's why she was like, Elliot. The Mexican, this ain't Elliot.
It's not
Elliot. I thought it was dead good. I just thought it's very clever. That's all. Basically, you know your own weakness, don't you? And there's a line where you're just not going to want out in public. So she played on it, and you know, they basically got him. And I thought the ending was really nicely done, where she outsmarted him and he got stuck in that world and pretty much died in his chair, didn't he?
I wasn't sure if that's what that end bit showed, because his hand kind of drops down, but I don't know if that was meant to be like a week had passed and he obviously,
well, his mouth
was
dripped and finished.
Yeah.
And he was changing colour. I thought it meant that he's just starved himself out.
Do you think that the version of him that was in the Starfleet thing also died, or did he live on?
Well, he's a different conscience, isn't he? So he'll live on in that.
Yeah, it's fucked up, isn't it? So he's going to be there for
ever.
This, like,
infinity?
This blank void. The thing about Black Mirror that I love is that
so much, you can take so much out of it.
Sometimes the punishments are so way more severe than what they deserve, but you still feel like that he deserved, you know, you're like, he was.
Imagine.
But then when you think about that punishment, it's like so much worse than what he did. Although I suppose he did put
Come on, man. Walton.
In that same.
That Walton guy. Jimmy Simpson is he's a good actor as well. He's in quite a few.
Oh, he's
of them.
Brilliant. Yeah.
What's he in? I need to check.
He's in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Westworld, dude. Westworld.
And Westworld.
He's the guy in Westworld, man. How could we forget? So
he plays that like absolute jerk of a boss very well in this one bit where he's talking on the phone and playing an electric guitar.
Yeah, and then you're okay with him getting hammered by you know.
Yeah, that's brilliant, isn't it?
By like Robert
he kind
David.
Of comes out then, yeah.
And then he's used as a footstool and he's getting battered. But the worst thing where you feel sorry for him is when Robert, the guy who's messing with everyone, he's got his son. And creates his son and throws him out the airlock and makes him watch his son die.
Vicious. And then he keeps his DNA in the little fridge so he can basically bring him back as many times as he wants so he can keep killing his. Okay, yeah.
It's horrible. It was basically blackmail. Blackmail in some of the worst way possible. Honestly. So, he deserved it.
I guess he does deserve an infinite of
imagine,
weakness.
Right? This is the whole point of that world, is that the message from it is you're stealing someone's DNA, one. You have technology to create another, a clone, a virtual person of that DNA who feels the same thing in real life, and then you're torturing them.
Yeah.
How is it not a crime? Like, in that world, it would be, surely.
Definitely. So I suppose he got what
he deserved.
He kind of got all the pain that they had. And then there was a weird thing at the end then where you see the crew are kind of, they get kind of transported into what's like the real online
game version.
And then Aaron Paul speaks to them. He's also in Breaking Bad. Do you know Aaron Paul? He plays,
Jesse.
Yeah. Griffin, yeah. He does the voice of the nerd guy who's like, have you got anything to trade or something? Or get the hell out of here or I'll blast you. It's a strange ending.
It is strange. But it was
very
good.
Funny though.
It's very funny. And also it's great because it kind of means they live on, but they do what they want.
Yeah. But happier, I suppose.
Exactly.
But I think it just messes with my head. The idea of a world where you can't die. I mean, it's
terrible. You know, what do you think the message of the show is? Because most of these episodes have a message.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like,
this one was, I kind of felt like it was self, you know, someone who's, it was a revenge. It was pure revenge mission.
Yeah. Maybe it's like, just treat people better. You know, I mean, if you're going to be.
But don't you think
be careful who you mess with?
But also, don't you think she did nothing to go in? She did absolutely nothing wrong to go in.
Yeah, it was weird because she was the one person who was actually
really nice to
him and speaking to him. And then it's not like she was mean to him. She obviously, it was her first day there. She was told by people, oh, he's not really like a person who you should be speaking to. So she's obviously just trying her best to kind of adapt, and it wasn't like she was mean to him. It was that she wasn't as overly friendly with him. She probably realized
she got warned off by that guy, and then by that woman, sorry, and then she just gave him a coffee and walked off.
Exactly. I don't think it was.
She didn't do anything bad at all. And I think that's why, because she didn't deserve anything. She didn't do anything bad. She was the clever one to fight back and say, "Well, I'm not taking this shit."
But even the people who, even the rest of the people on the ship. Do you remember they all kind of said why that they were there? And it's like, oh,
very trivial.
There are like things like, I brought him the wrong thing, or like,
oh, yeah,
called
him
a bastard. Yeah. Like really small things. It's like, you think you did something really bad.
Walton was probably the only one that deserved it.
Yeah.
In terms of taking credit for his work, right?
Yeah, I guess that's pretty, yeah.
But it is a bit of a fucking life sentence for that as well. Come on, man.
I know. To do that to his son.
Oh, Jesus. Exactly.
He
so
was definitely a bit.
Morality.
Was definitely something wrong with him.
A chance. Yeah,
like
maybe. Yeah. Can come down to mental disorders, but also the power of technology. Like, just, we don't want to go there. We don't want to We don't want anything like this.
We don't want to live forever.
No.
I think that's the answer. Not like that in a Star Trek world.
No, it was superb though, I thought. It was probably the one of the better ones in this season. You can say it was. Just, oh man, Yeah.
And it looked incredible.
It did.
It looked like a film as well. I mean, just the production of it and everything, it just looked fantastic.
Exactly.
I love that.
Yeah. Trying to be an asshole god type person in a show and making people into animals and spiders and giant spiders and shit like that. That was just awful. Awful, man. Like, imagine having that control. You just want to kill someone, wouldn't you? You'd be like, what the fuck is your problem? Oh, right. Shall we move on to the second episode?
Yeah.
Now, this is special because it's directed by Jodie Foster, for those of you who know. You know, a big star in her own right. Big director as well. So to get for Charlie Brooker and the guys, you know, to get her, obviously Charlie Brooker is the writer of all these episodes, to get a big name director on board to direct this show was huge. And in fact, this one I got my wife to watch just to see if she enjoyed it or not, and she really really enjoyed it. She really enjoyed it. She, as in, like, obviously it opened her eyes up, because a lot of them, this is one of the ones I thought, Simon, that could have been something that happens in real life, like can become true, or
definitely, yeah,
you know, something that, or near enough. I mean, obviously getting to that technology is mental, but can get something that could maybe get there one day.
Yeah, it's like, I mean,
it's not such a hard thing to imagine that someone would want to protect their child, right? Which, go on, you can tell the premise of it.
Well, so it's basically, so there's a woman who she nearly loses her daughter, and then she invested in a kind of this new kind of tech that basically allows her to keep track of her through a camera. So the mother has a iPad, and the daughter has an implant in her that allows the mother to see her through her own daughter's eyes and hear her, and she can also she can kind of edit what her daughter can see, so she can blur things out, like blood and curse words and stuff like that. And she knows where she is on the map as well.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. It's not too far from the idea of being able to track a phone. Obviously, yes, you've got the whole.
But to be able to see everything. To see, oh my god!
And then to be able to edit that is what is the thing that I think, so we're very far from that. But
a few things I got from it.
The rest of it's not too far off, I thought.
No, a few things I got from it. So were that, one, overprotection of your children, way too protective of your children. You know, like, as in blocking dogs barking. Come on, man. Blocking any sign of blood. Up to some age, fine, but what the hell are you doing when they're getting into, like, teens? They're going to get the piss ripped out of them, you know? You're putting them into tough positions. They showed that in the show as well, that
kid... Yeah, it's brilliant, wasn't it? With, picking on her and stuff.
Oh, my God. And then she's trying to stab herself.
To see the blood, yeah.
She couldn't see it, and it basically just fingered out her arm. Oh, dear. I mean, there were some really excellent parts, like when her dad was having the stroke. The heart attack.
She couldn't see it, yeah.
But she couldn't. No, but she couldn't see it. But
blocked
she was.
It out, yeah.
But because her heart rate went up, it alerted her to it, didn't it? So she could then take away the filter a little bit and say, "Oh, there you go. Right now, I can go."
Oh, yeah, it shows that as well, wasn't it? It shows, like, the heart rate of signs and all that.
Yeah, because she could hear her granddad, but she couldn't see him.
Yeah,
because it was disturbing.
She didn't understand it.
So she could see him, but so that raised her heart levels up. So. And then, obviously, watching your daughter have sex. What the fuck?
I couldn't believe it. I know. I saw that was going to happen. I was just like, you know, when you're kind of like, don't do it. Don't just shouting at the TV screen like, oh, no, you're not going to look at that, are you? And you're like, no.
And then, you know, she finds her snorting coke and stuff. Basically, obsession. This is the problem with this technology. When you can, in the world of social media, where stalking is fucking normal, like people just go and watch what other people are doing, you know, on their social media accounts, it's like, follow this person. Why? Because you just want to watch what they're doing. It's a form of stalking, man. Following each other is pretty much it's made it acceptable. Do you get what I mean? Like, you would never think following someone would be a way, but that is exactly what it is, really. If you I mean, how many followers really interact with you on Twitter? Mm. Not, for example, mine, not all 11,000 would, or not all 100,000 on the AI account do, you know? So what are they doing? They're just stalking the account, watching it. You know, it's the same fucking principle. But what happens is when it becomes, the problem is when it becomes an obsession. And this is where it becomes an obsession. When you have too much control on something, you can't let go. So I wonder whether you feel the same way as me, as I thought she was just obsessed with following her daughter just because she got lost in the park when she's little. That happens to all of us. Like, come on, man, you lose your kid in town for a bit, you'll find them because they'll be crying somewhere. You'll find them, you know, in the end, you'll find them. They can't go that far. But she just wanted to protect her so much that it's just dead weird.
It's definitely completely just over the top. I mean, I actually think that she did the kid more harm that way than just allowing her to be a normal kid, which is something that we see in the real world a lot. You know, things parents like are overly, like, they won't let their kids watch any films that have, you know, anything bad in them, like, no, you know, the way they be just, they just basically take away everything, and then when the kid interacts with the rest of the world, they're completely left behind and they don't know the normal response to badness. Then it kind of becomes this just like, she was actually like, I think it was bad the way she raised her, you know. I think she should have allowed her a little bit more, but
freedom. Definitely. It was, you know,
it was in the end the thing that
I mean, there were some cute scenes where she was playing hide and seek with her. There was it was then over the top when she's asking her mom what color should I use. They're in different rooms and she's watching her, like, over the top. Or what, why do you have to watch her when she's just doing coloring? For God's sake. Like, the kid was trying to get a cookie. You know, like how little kids sometimes go and sneak away and go and eat a cookie.
Yeah.
She was like, oi, stop eating a cookie. And it's just like, must have been so weird. Trapped.
It's kind of the way the world has evolved. I mean, you know, as me, when we were a kid, we were allowed a lot more, you know.
Freedom.
There wasn't that much, you know, where you're going to be. It was just like, I'll just be back for food or whatever. Obviously, the world is not the way it was back then, but it feels like this is kind of the way things could become, where there's just this complete overprotection and everyone is just in their own little pocket and no one's exposed to anything bad at all. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, I found it one of the better episodes. I thought it was directed really well. I thought they really put across all the, and the really bad thing was that when she started to, basically beat the shit out of her mom at the end.
With the iPad.
with the iPad or whatever it was. The tablet that was controlling her. The fucking filter got switched on so she couldn't see the damage she was doing.
Yeah. And it kept going, turning on and off and on and off.
And she couldn't see the damage. And then she realized afterwards, oh shit, I've just mangled my mom's face up. And then she just ran off and she'd pretty much damaged the tablet as well, which basically means no more control.
And she ran away.
And she ran away, and you get basically back to where it all started, her mom running down the street shouting her name.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. That's a nice ending.
It is, isn't it? It's like, basically, you're thinking that was what forced her to put that technology in her head, and it's basically cost her a kid.
Yeah. You know? Backfired on her.
And, I mean, that was the message, wasn't it? Control. Too much control.
Yeah.
Too much protection and, mollycoddling of your child is going to make them want to rebel even more, for me. I thought so.
Yeah. And I'd say for you as well, having kids, how did you feel about it? I mean, if that was...
Oh, it's hard
watch. That was the thing that you could have, would you be tempted,
mate,
or would you just not even?
I think I wouldn't go with putting that in unless the world got so, so dangerous that you wanted it, you needed it. But you know what? You don't blame a parent for doing it if they want to, but I couldn't because I know what my, what I'm like with tech and stuff. I'd be just monitoring all the time.
Yeah.
You do. It's natural though. I don't say
you get hooked on it. Yeah.
You do.
Yeah,
like I said, it just becomes an obsession. Anything can become an obsession. You can be like, I'm obsessed with podcasting and doing this, what I do. You know, you can, if you've got that type of personality, when you get obsessed with doing stuff, and that's what happens. I know for a fact, if I could keep a tab on my daughter, I would probably do it because it's just, it's just one of those things. If you get worried, where is she? And that's what was happening when they agreed not to do it. But then when she would just like when she would one doubt her
little peek kind of thing, she's like, "I'll just take one little sneaky peek just to make sure."
And she was was having sex at that point, and then she was snorting drugs. Yeah. What happens then? You end up watching more. Which road is she going down? Oh, it's a mess, but a very, very interesting episode. Again, I thought fantastic, Simon. I thought it was really, really good.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Makes you think, doesn't it?
Yeah, really good.
Right then, let's move to the third one. Third one. Now, this one, okay. Again, very technological. Just watch your mic there. you're still doing it.
Sorry.
No worries. It's fine now.
Is it fine
now?
Yeah,
it's fine.
Sorry.
Now. No worries. I'm just noting it down. So, the third episode, Crocodile. This one even had an Indian actress playing Shazia Akhand. So that was nice to see. Kiran Sonia Sawar. I think she's been in other stuff. I don't really remember. I'll check it. I mean.
I've never seen her yet, and I'm also very.
I've not seen her. She's in Next of Kin.
I'm happy that coming. You were able to pronounce her name, because I would have made Alina Kauser of that one.
Kieran. So I thought she did really well in this.
She was great. And
obviously,
I really liked her.
Andrea Riseborough, something like that. She's been in Oblivion, Birdman. She's really good, I thought. I really liked her in this. And she's been in National Treasure, Bloodline. I don't remember her in Bloodline, you know.
I haven't seen Bloodline.
Okay, that's interesting. Maybe. Okay, that's where I was thinking of if I need to think who she was in Bloodline. But I did like the, this, the start of this one was good. I don't think it was my favorite in the season, but, what were your initial thoughts on it before we go into what it was about?
I love this one, actually. This is one of my favorites. Okay. Yeah.
Go on, then. You might as well tell us what you liked about it.
I thought it was a lot like some of the, what's that one? The one in season 3 with the kind of the kid, the kind of pedophile.
Shut up and dance.
Shut up and dance. It reminded me of that kind of, it was really, really dark, really just.
Yeah, it's
horrific.
Dark. It didn't remind me of that. I kind of felt this was. I suppose it was.
A little bit. It was just bleak. I just loved where it was filmed, like Iceland. It looked so dark and bleak, and there was just this whole, that kind of Scandinavian noir kind of thing about it. Just like, it just looked really nice and pretty, but then the tones of it all were so dark, and there was just this constant panic and, like how things just kind of escalated more and more, and what's the name of her character in it? Maya, how she just kept on trying to hide everything, and she just like, the more that she tried to hide stuff, the more bad things she had to kind of do, and I just felt her panic and her whole thing. I was like, oh God, this poor person, like, I'm like, just stop, you know? Yeah, I thought it was very well done. I loved it.
I get what you're saying. I do. I The setting, like you said, was nice, very icy, very cold. I thought that suits it. At the starting, where they were, you know, drugged up or drunk or whatever, and they run over someone and they hide it. That is the kind of thing that kind of was the story for me. Like, something that you try and hide in the past will always come back to haunt you, you know? And obviously she had to kill her ex-boyfriend, you know, to hide it. Now, from what follows from that was very, very unlucky for her. Very yeah. unlucky for her. I mean, she deserved it because she fucking killed two people or was a hand or had a hand in, you know, the first one she helped hide. Like, she didn't kill him, but she had a hand in hiding it for so long. The second one, she murders her ex. And by the way, he is in Outlander, and unbelievable performance, like a difference in what he is in Outlander to here. I think he's Bonnie.
Really? Well,
yeah, I think he's like Bonnie Prince Charlie or something in Outlander, and just unbelievable how he's, you know, Prince Charles Edward II. He's totally different acting. Couldn't even tell it was him. That's how it just shows you how talented the guy is, you know. So Andrew Gower, he was robbing this. He was so good, so good. So I mean, he had a small role, but he played it well. And then once he dies, it's all about, again, I don't know, it's not Cookie. This is more playing on the entire history of you, isn't it?
A little bit of that as well, yeah. The kind of the memory thing, they've kind of advanced it a little bit, kind of Blade Runner-y. But I like the way they made the tech look, that it nearly looked kind of old. Like, the screen was really small and weird, wasn't it? It was kind of like you could tell that they hadn't really advanced the tech that well.
Well, it needed to be cheap.
Went backwards.
It needed to be cheap for it to be able to give people, to give to people's houses, give to people's houses. you know what I mean? And like, did you see it? She was like proper dressed up, you know, as culturally, and she was just like traveling to people's houses and speaking in it's kind of Scottish accent, wasn't it?
She had because it was set in Iceland, right? Or was
but
it set?
It was, but they're trying to make out. They were trying to make out it was Scotland, though.
Yeah, I was a little bit confused about that, to be honest with you. I wasn't sure what that was meant to be, but yeah, it's not really that important to the thing. But
she had
a weird accent, though, yeah.
She
had a bit of a Scottish accent. It's pretty cool, yeah.
And I liked it that she was doing her job, and they showed that she had a kid, and then she had her husband and stuff. And the whole thing, what happens next, that she can trace back, sit down with someone and trace back exactly what happened on the night where she killed someone, but someone outside was knocked over by a really cool pizza delivery truck. How cool was that truck, dude? What a great idea that this truck.
A sentient pizza delivery truck.
Yes, it just drives around itself. It drops off at spots for you. You just come and pick it up from outside your house. I thought that was dead cool, man. And the fact that it runs someone over, it was hilarious.
Yeah.
It made me laugh.
I like that. Yeah. Like, that's a really good thing that we're probably going to start to have is, you know, with all these new, with self-driving cars, that's going to happen. I mean, there'll be a time when something will go wrong, but I like in this world how it's not that big of a deal. It just basically becomes a normal lawsuit, and it's just
an insurance claim, basically.
Yeah, and then it's basically just bad luck that Maya happened to look out the window at that time.
Yeah,
and then she kind of she's walking around, she's going around, and she interviews a person who walked by her on the footpath, isn't the first.
No, it's a dentist. Isn't it? The dentist is looking at a bloke. He's looking at a bloke's ass.
Yeah.
And he wants to hide it. So she goes, no problem. Great. I won't put that in my report. Don't worry. We only report on what we're looking for, you know, in terms of the actual incident. And she goes, don't worry about that. And then he goes, I saw this woman across the road. And then obviously, she finally gets that person's name and she goes out to her and she says, you know, obviously she's chucked that guy in some acid or something. I don't know. You know her ex-boyfriend?
Yeah.
She's like got rid of the evidence of that totally. And watched porn on purpose to say that she was in the room watching porn. Yeah. So, and ordered room service and everything. She's really tried to build a alibi for herself. And, you know, that's exactly what she gets because the woman says, oh, what did you see out the window? I know you were there watching porn. It's fine. But obviously this memory thing that you got, it was, she wasn't able to control her mind, was she?
And, I can't really know. I mean, because obviously if you try to not think about something, that's what you think about. It's impossible, isn't it?
And it was kept going through the old one where they knocked someone over and killed him. And then there was the one that she killed now. And then this. And then did you see how shit scared she got?
Like, yeah, she's just like kind of, okay.
She's like, okay, I'm going to go now. I've got exactly what I need. Yeah, I've seen the accident. You know, Shazia, her name was Shazia in the show. She goes, yeah, I've seen the accident and it's totally fine. And I'm going to go now. And then she's like, you know, it's just my head. Mia goes, it's just my head. It's just, I get crazy thoughts.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She just keeps
whatever.
Very tense.
Oh, my God. It was tense. And then and then obviously she kidnaps her and murders her, which was horrible.
Yeah, why not?
And then also says, who did you tell? And she goes, nobody, nobody, nobody. And then she uses the thing on him and uses her own device on her.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant.
And finds that her husband also knows. So what does she do? She goes to her sat-nav, types in home, finds her address, drives over to the husband. And I mean, this is just, this becomes a serial killing, man.
That's where it starts. See, I mean, I do like this episode a lot, but I can kind of see from that point on, it becomes a little bit over the top then. But I think that's the whole point, isn't it, really? Like, I mean, it just gets...
How far will someone go?
It gets beyond out of hand, you know?
Yeah. That's what happens, though, isn't it? When you're trying to hide one thing, you keep going, I need to do the next thing.
Just make it worse and worse.
It becomes like a domino effect, doesn't it? Now, the beauty of this was that the technology is so fucking powerful that she then murders the child as well, not knowing he was blind.
I know. That was such an awful little twist.
So heartbreaking, though. That kid was so, so cute. I was about to say dead cute. It would have been too horrible to say.
Jesus.
I know. It was so, so cute. So cute, that kid. And he was blind and he was just calling for his dad. She murders him in the bath. The way
horrible.
The way they described it, there's a blood bath. I was like, fucking hell. Literally?
So. Charlie Brooker is a bad man.
He's such a good writer, isn't he? Everything was just coming out was so good. And I just thought to myself, oh my God, she's killed the kid. And that made me sick, really. That made me sick. I was like, you have gone too far.
And then she went to her own kid's play then, wasn't it? She was meant to be going to a play. She was late for the play because she was off murdering a baby. And then she eventually arrives at the play. And then you're kind of thinking, okay, so she's actually gotten away with this. And then,
the coppers turn up in the play.
The police appear and you're just like, okay, how have they found her?
And what was it? What was it that fucking gets? Is it? It's a guinea pig?
It's a guinea pig, which it's because there is that bit that happens earlier on where you see the dad brings it home and is like, oh, I bought this pet or something. And you're like, what? You know, it was a bit of a weird thing for them to kind of have in the episode. And then you're like, okay, they just slip that in so they could use the guinea pig at the end. So they
doesn't that make it a bit stupid, though?
I didn't like that. I do have to say. I mean, I thought it was kind of.
I thought
it was
so
ridiculous.
Exactly, it was so good the whole way, and then they can extract memories. But the only way she could get memories is talking to the people. How the hell do you talk to a guinea pig? Hey, yo, what happened to the kid? Hey, yo.
They got another guinea pig to do it.
Yeah, what the
little machine.
What a load of shit. So
it does kind of take away from it. But I suppose he wanted her to get caught in the, I actually think that would have worked better if she wasn't caught almost and she just had to live with what she did. But I suppose maybe that was a bit too.
No,
of a she has happy to get ending, you
terrible.
Know what I mean?
She's got to get caught. That was fucking sick.
And she I guess there's no caught. Other way for her to get caught, really. I mean, yeah. I suppose maybe if you put the thing up to an animal, it will just show what they saw as opposed to what they think. Mm. I don't know. It is a
I
bit...
I suppose trauma, when the animal knows a little baby or whatever. We're just trying to basically now fucking cover Charlie Brooker's tracks here. But yeah, the guinea pig thing, a bit dumb. So it went
I'd
from
like
a
to
hear dark...
Him. Yeah.
It went from a dark show to a stupid end, in my opinion.
Like if it... Yeah, like I think if it was, maybe if it was a cat or a dog, you could think, okay, they're like quite a smart animal, but I don't know how, like, are guinea pigs meant to be particularly smart? Like, is there something that we don't
maybe we
know
we're not
about
picking
them?
Up. Maybe, who knows?
We'll give him the benefit of the day.
We will. Maybe he's thought about it, he's researched it, who knows?
Maybe he has, yeah.
Let's move on to the next one. I thought this was one of my favorites as well. Hang the DJ.
Yeah, this is possibly one of my favorite ever.
Yeah, I really, for someone who didn't really enjoy San Junipero as much, but I thought this one was fantastic. And the play, the reason being, like, I don't use them because obviously I've been married now for fucking coming on to 15 years. So dating apps weren't really out when I was courting. So it's something that's been invented since I've been in a relationship, married and stuff. So, but I thought, obviously, people talk about dating apps so much. This was just so, I don't know, something that could happen. Do you get what I mean? Yeah. But obviously, in the end, there's a twist. But it's just some the way it was going when you watch it, as in two people, and it's a coach, life coach, that selects, like, it's rather than a dating app, but it's a fucking life coach thing. But obviously there's a dystopian future type where they're stuck in a fucking bowl world or whatever it was. I don't know. Where they can't get out.
Yeah. You didn't really know what was kind of happening.
No, you didn't. So all you know is that if you get this life coach thing and purchase it, you then become, you have the ability then to be matched to someone.
Yeah. It's like a system, isn't it? It was called like, you they come up with this really complicated algorithm that is 99.8% or something guaranteed to match you with the perfect match for you, but you have to kind of go through a certain amount of other people first, so like you might get matched with a person, and then when you're matched, your date has an expiry time, which is picked by whatever the algorithm. So you might get matched with a person and you'd have maybe a month with them, and you basically have to spend that month with them then. And you live in this weird little house and everything is free and no one has to work. It's very weird, isn't it?
Very weird. I mean, the leads are superb. Georgina Campbell, Amy, she's in Broadchurch for a season. She's coming in the new Krypton that's coming out. And then Joe Cole, who is Frank, he's John Shelby, I think, Let me check. In Peaky Blinders.
He's in Peaky Blinders,
Yeah, John Shelby, that's right. So he's in Peaky Blinders. And I thought both of them were just unbelievable in this. Honestly, I thought they nailed it. They really nailed it. Georgina especially. I thought was, he was great as well, to be fair. They're both really,
he was
really
brilliant,
good.
Yeah.
And they meet up the first time. They only get 24 hours together, or 12 hours, 24 hours, something like that, together.
18, 12, something like that. Yeah, it's not
it was short.
Much anyway, yeah.
They only get a short time together, but they really, really get on. They really like each other, but they don't go the full way. So they don't have sex. They just lie next to each other. And there's a little thing that she does where she tries and holds the person's hand. And when she holds their hand, she gets the feeling whether they're the one or not. Because she did it with all the people that she dated in the show, in the episode. And she only smiled with him. If you notice, she only smiled with him. Now, that I thought was one thing to pick up on. Then, obviously, after their 12 hours or whatever, 18 hours is up, they've got new people. She's really fancies who she gets. Lenny, George Blagden, who is a massive part of Vikings for the first few years. What was his name in Vikings? Oh God, oh, I can check. He was Æthelstan. Fantastic. Really was. So he's dating her. So this one had a really good cast, actually. And then he gets, and that's for 9 months. So from fucking like hours, they both got someone from, she's got him for 9 months and he gets, Nicola. An absolute utter bitch.
My God, she is hilarious.
Yeah, for
she just like for hates everything about him, doesn't she? She's
months.
Like,
oh man.
He's like eating like chicken tikka masala, and she's just like twirling under her breath, kind of thing. And yeah, then they're having sex, turning his to take me from behind, the kind of thing. And she's telling him what to do, and he's like, "Is this right?" And she's like, "Not really." And everything like
side to side.
Yeah. And she's just like, she doesn't smile once at all, and she's just absolute bitch, isn't she?
They go to some kind of party, and he has a garlic dip, and she goes, and she, garlic, really? And then did you see what he does? He dips in more.
Yeah.
Oh, so funny. She's such a bitch to him. But obviously, on the other end, it looks perfect. They meet each other. He nearly chokes. At this party, he meets, obviously, Amy again, who's now with Lenny. But he nearly chokes. She helps him. She gives him a kick. The chemistry is brilliant.
Yeah, it's really good, isn't it? I mean, even from the very first time that they meet, if you kind of, like, everyone else who seems to meet, they never really seem to have, like, this banter about them, whereas when Amy and Frank meet for the first time, they have this instant banter where he's talking about, taking a shit or something really like, you know, crude and vulgar, but that doesn't seem to happen between anyone else. Like most of the rest of the people are either there for a hookup or they're just kind of there to meet the so-called perfect match, but they never have this banter or this wit about them. Weird, isn't it?
No, it's really weird.
I love that. Yeah,
I did love it. And obviously she's now with Lenny and he's got this, she likes him to begin with, but then on the first night she notices and she calls him out for this thing that he does when he drinks his water and he goes, ah, you know, so she's really, I mean, over the time, that's really getting to her because he does it all the time and you can see. And then there's one point where she grabs his hand to try, you know, at night to try and feel whether, you know, if he's the one, and she doesn't smile. But what he does is he jumps on her and obviously has sex with her and she's happy with that. But then he's obviously licking her out, isn't he? And then he does the noise as if he slurped it all up, like, and drank it. And it just puts her off. Like you can tell her face goes like, you know, and obviously what you do yourself is like, oh my God, dude, what are you doing? Like, you don't need to drink it, man. What the fuck? I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was such a fucking hilarious part, honestly. And obviously, she knew straight away from that point. This guy just annoys me too much. Now he was good in every other way. You know, he seemed like a nice guy. He really did. But if it's not the right guy, a person, it's not the right. I mean, when they came to end, Frank and, Nicola, she just didn't even want to hear anything.
Yeah, she's like, oh, I want to thank you. She's like, don't bother or something, just walks away. Brilliant.
Yeah. And then obviously the next thing that happens is, they both leave. She leaves Lenny, but then she gets like loads of one-night stands.
Kind of hookups, isn't it?
Yeah, so like maybe 20 of them or something. But she feels nothing. She's just basically having a cheap fuck every single time.
Mm.
And he's going through a fucking sentence. In the end, he leaves Nicola as well, and they get together. They get put together again, and they are absolutely over the moon. And this is where the kind of one of the interesting stories is that when you got something good and you don't want it to end.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites.
So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
That was one of the big things I thought of the episode. The mistakes you can make. And he could have been with her for 5 years. You know, they got 5 years, didn't they? Together in the end. But because he broke the trust, because they both agreed not to check. Because obviously the whole thing was you get that time limit, don't you?
And you agreed both have to press the button or something at once.
Yeah.
So you both have to ask for it at one time.
Yeah, and they agreed not to do it without each other knowing. I mean, you can set the rules. You can say, yeah, you can check it whenever you want, no worries. But they'd agreed, and obviously the coach knows, it's always with them, that they'd agreed not to check it. Once he checked it without her, because he was so desperate to know how long he'd be with her, he was enjoying it so much, he was loving his life so much, that it went down to 24 hours, didn't it?
I was actually heartbroken.
I was as well.
This is probably, this is one of the, it was just such a sad part. Black Mirror does dark so well. It does horrible. It does the whole thing with tech. But I think this is the first time that I actually felt heartache. You know, it was really, because the 5 minutes that built up to that were kind of all things of him watching her. He was watching her in bed. You could kind of tell, you know, and you could just tell by the expression on his face. He just kept on having a little look at the little
life coach,
whatever it is thing. Yeah. And you could just kind of tell it was just preying on his mind that he just wanted to know so badly because he was so mad about her and it was tearing him apart. But I thought he just acted that so well that with just the looks that he had for her. And then he just takes a little peek and you can just tell, oh fuck, he's going to do it. And it was so sad when he's like, no, stop. And it
recalibrating.
Kept on, yeah.
And then you see how he moved out the room and went into a private room? Oh, man, the desperation.
It was horrible, wasn't it? It was hard to watch, yeah.
It was, and you're just like, oh, shit, when you got something so good. Just really.
That's what it is, isn't it? It's like kind of that you should appreciate what you have and not think about what you don't have, I suppose, you know. His thoughts were obviously occupied by what will I do when I don't have her anymore, instead of just I have her, appreciate her now.
Exactly. I don't know. I was, but I think the whole moral of it was that they were supposed to split up, and how desperate would they be to get back together? I think that was the whole point of the, because what you find out in the end, the big twist is that it's just an app. They are inside an app. It's just a simulation of them in an app. And in the end, they just, because they do start saying, I felt like this happened before. And it has. It's happened a thousand times. It's a thousandth time that it's happened. And it just tries to prove whether they run away or not, you know, and ignore the life coach, or do they just keep living by what that life coach tells them to do? And in the end, they both, 998 out of 1,000 times, they ran away. And then obviously what happens is, it's called Hang the DJ because that's the song that's playing. In real life, they look at the app and it says, yep, 98% match. And it's all because of what all those simulations that it's been running whilst it's had their data. and they just look at each other and know, yeah, this is going to work.
Yeah.
I thought it was dead clever.
Yeah.
Really
good, wasn't it? Really good.
Really good. Was there anything else on this one that you liked, or have we covered
it? Happy ending too, I think, wasn't it?
For once, yeah, fucking hell.
For once, it's a very happy ending.
Happy ending. Unfucking heard of.
The only tiny little thing that I wanted to say, actually, if I don't know if you picked it up, when I went back and watched them again in the USS Callister episode, the woman at the reception desk is on that, has that app on her phone.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a nice little Easter egg.
Really?
Yeah. Because I read a few things that people have said that they think that all of the episodes take place in the same
universe,
world and stuff. And yeah. That's kind of, there's a few little things like that. So if you take a look, she's on her phone. She's just going like swiping, but the picture, I'm pretty sure it's that picture with the face in the middle, you know, and
yeah,
percentage or whatever. Yeah. It's pretty cool little thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice little Easter eggs.
Excellent.
There's lots of those, I think.
Right. Yeah. Then. Happy to move on to the next one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Definitely. So, Metalhead. Now, probably the lowest rated one from what I've looked on IMDb, interestingly. So, I'll go through some of the ratings here. Callister got 8.4 from 25,000. Reviews. Archangel got 7.4 from 19,000. Surprised by that. Crocodile got 7.3 from 17,500. Hang the DJ, 8.9 out of 22,500. Metalhead, 6.8 out of 15,500. Wow. And the one that we're going to cover last, Black Museum, got 8.8. So the second best out of 15,500. So this one was the lowest rated one. Now, why would you think that would be the case from that many people watching it?
Well, it was my least favorite one, but I wouldn't think it was a bad episode. I just think it's so, like, it's not like any of the rest of
proper post apocalyptic.
Yeah, it hasn't really got the element of tech in the same way. I know it has that thing with the
come on,
dog
of course
and everything.
It has a dog. That's amazing tech with a fucking gun.
Yeah.
It's a destroyer. That dog is a destroyer. It's unbelievable. It looks the way it runs.
I never want to fucking meet that dog in my life, but that's all I know.
I just thought the whole mission of it was weird.
I loved it, but I can see why people wouldn't like
it. I enjoyed it, like, by the way. Black and white Black and white was so good.
Yeah, it looked brilliant.
Looked visually was exceptional, I thought. And I just, the concept of it as a movie, if it had the proper explanation, the problem with it was, right?
Yeah, there's no world building at all. Yeah.
You didn't know enough, don't you think, Si?
I liked that, but I also felt like I just wanted even just 5 or 10 minutes more of something from like either their camp or something more about the world, because you just like, it's just all about.
Yeah, and it was only 41 minutes long. It could have easily had 10 more minutes.
I think so, yeah. Like, I feel, but maybe maybe that was the whole thing, was he just wanted to have a little small snapshot of this one day that this woman experienced, and it's more about her fear and stuff. But then I suppose it's about her. My thing of it is, it's kind of about what people will do for, you know, to help each other out, you know, like, it's all for that bear, isn't it? For a sick kid, is it?
That's right. Yeah, it's for a critically
Ill. It her kid or is it just a kid?
We don't know
if that was explained. See, that's the thing, like, you're not really, you know, I just feel that if there had been a little bit more emotion between her and that kid, it might have maybe liked a little bit more, but I don't know. It was a weird episode, wasn't it? It wasn't like any of the rest of them.
Totally thought it was a weird episode. I really did enjoy it because I thought it was so fucking tense, So you've got to say it was directed really well. Yes, there was some things missing, like we've just talked about in terms of information and all that. But if you just watch it for what it was, the chase, the way she was, you know, the way she was like pulling these things out. Oh man, like it's brutal. The starting is brutal. You're like, oh, what's this? Three people outside a factory or whatever. And they're going to, you think that, first of all, what is beautiful is you think they're trying to steal something really, really important. Okay.
Yeah.
Something really costly. When you find out it's just, you know, it's a bunny, you kind of do think, shit, it's just a bunny. But then you obviously think, like you just said there, that's in this post-apocalyptic world, that's how far someone will go to help a kid, which is lovely. But three people have died pretty much to do that. Yeah. It's just crazy. That's how far you're going to go. So very interesting. But I just thought when that dog sees the guy and then shoots out a little, what could you call that, Si? It's like got a load of sensors in it. It's like
trackers, I guess, isn't it?
But it's like an explosive, isn't it? It's like shrapnel.
Shrapnel, yeah. I guess that's what it is.
It's like an explosive shrapnel thing, but each piece that goes out, an explosive thing, is a fucking sensor.
Yeah.
So they can track you if you run, which is so clever.
Yeah, I like that. It's brilliant.
And he just shoots the guy in the head, makes a mess of the floor. Remember? The dog, he just lifts a foot up, the first foot paw up, and it's got a gun in the end and just puts it against the guy's head, blows his head off, and you're just like, holy shit. You know, I was like, oh, God. And then it chases the car, and it's fast enough to chase it, the van.
Yeah.
Jumps in the back, and you think, this is another one. The wife watching with me and goes, I hate this dog. That's what she was saying the whole way. She hates dogs anyway, but she's like, I hate this dog even more. And it was just, I felt like it was brutal. That dog was brutal.
Oh, I really hope that the world never creates those dogs.
Oh my God. Yeah, it just shot the driver in the head as well, the van.
Yeah, they're vicious. And like, he could turn his, didn't something happen to one of his legs?
This is the beauty. We can go through it. So basically the beautiful thing of it was that he can then track this, he can drive the van. How did he drive the van?
He puts a little paw into the key or something. Yeah.
Hacks into it and starts driving the van. It shows it's a bit in the future as well. So it's like an electronic kind of car thing. So it has the power to do that. But then he drives her off the road. This being Bella, who's the main lead, Maxine Peake, drives her off the road and then follows her. She's basically, the car's got to the edge of a cliff, so he can't bring the van down there. So the dog just charges all the way down to her. And, she leaves the dog in there or something and gets it off the cliff or something like that, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
And that was it. And the dog's paw, the gun paw, is then stuck because it's the car's rolled down the edge of the cliff.
Oh, yeah, and it kind of gets.
And it's stuck between, between the bonnet and the dashboard and the seat. So it can't get out. And she's ran away. So she's got away and gone down, but she's got one of those thingies in her as well. She's got the tracker in her. That's the problem. She got the shrapnel stuck in her leg.
And it kind of shows the dog vision then. Of
oh my God, that's so cool.
I like that.
I can see everything, man. The dog vision is like, I can see anything and track stuff and whatever, feel stuff. One thing I want to ask you about, I got confused. But anyway, she somehow gets a pair of pliers and pulls this shrapnel out of her body, puts it inside the water bottle and puts it downstream. She goes the opposite way. Very clever, I thought. So the dog is going one way, she's going the other. But then the idiot starts going on the flipping walkie-talkie, doesn't she, the twat?
Yeah. I don't get that. Yeah, she was like making so much noise. And
yeah.
She was safe. She would have got away probably if she had just kept on
going,
running.
If she got out of out of his, out of that dog's range, let's say.
Yeah.
Because it's got to have a range. It can't be infinity. So basically, she was just a bit dumb, I thought, as well. So anyway, he's chasing her again. She climbs a tree. The dog, now with only three legs, three whatever, can't climb the tree. It probably couldn't do it anyway. So this is what I want to ask you about. That bit there, would it just go to sleep? I didn't get it. She's counting to 1,000.
I think it was something to do with the battery. So I think it's powered. Is it powered by the sun or something? And the battery is going down. But then every, I guess it's like a cycle of the battery or something. Is it? I thought it was something to do with the battery, and it basically powers down to recharge the battery, and then it powers back up.
Right.
And powers down again, recharges the battery, I think.
Right, that
so
must be it.
It was in.
So I was thinking was what's going on.
Yeah, like it was like kind of in, like, I guess, like watch mode where it would wake up every certain amount of time to make sure it was okay, and then it would go back and recharge its battery again. I think now, that's what I thought.
It allowed her to sneak away anyway and go into like a house where there's people that have fucking, I don't know, killed themselves or something or been murdered, which was dead weird as well. But it still finds her there. And I just, it was such a, it's such a sad. It's such a sad thing. But she is very clever. She puts paint over it, doesn't it? Doesn't she? So he can't see anything. And he's just got, the way he takes a knife into that fucking house.
Crazy.
Such a bastard of a dog, I swear. Into that gun slot broken.
It's just like, I suppose we don't know a lot about the world, but we do kind of get little hints. I mean, the fact that we were talking about that bit where she was, where she was waiting for it in the tree, they must know how they work.
Yeah,
they must be, you know, and I also wonder how many of them that there are, how many dogs that there are, you know, like, and
well, we
have they taken over the world or, you know, it's fucking ridiculous.
You saw at the end though, didn't you, how many there were, or do you not remember?
There was a lot, but I wonder how many more there were.
Oh, like, yeah, of course. It's like it's like someone's
thousands, you know.
Yeah, and I did see something or read something somewhere where they were about to put a bit in where someone's sitting there controlling them all, and then he's gone to go give his kids a wash.
Okay.
And that's why that's like it's so shut off. And then when he comes back, but I'm glad they didn't do that.
I'm glad they didn't do that. I actually think that would have spoiled it a little bit.
That would have been crazy.
Crocodile as well. Yeah. That's like the crocodile ending all over again, isn't it? It's just
over control.
One step too far.
Yeah. I think doing it this way leaves it open enough to think what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
And I love the name Metalhead. That's what the dog should be called, Metalheads. So,
they're little fuckers, aren't they?
But then she's very clever again because the paint's on it. She's dropped paint all over it, and it can't find her because it's covered the screen of her face. It's like a screen, isn't it? There they are. It's like a screen, so she's covered it. And their arms, they haven't got something that they can clean it with, but it does go off very accurately off of sound. So she finds a car, and there was a few scenes where she's getting car keys and all this stuff, and it's all quite disgusting with dead bodies and stuff. But the car doesn't start, so she leaves the radio on. And what you see next is the dog runs out, can't see anything, is just attracted to sound, and all it's doing is smashing the speakers of this car with the knife. And then she sees it coming out, and she blows its head off once. Second time, the knife goes into her knee. She blows the head off twice. Then it's dead. But as it's dead, fuck, it fucking brings out the shrapnel again, doesn't it? The fucking little bomb explosive device that...
So clever, yeah.
Oh,
it is very clever,
man.
It?
So brilliant. It's like when this thing dies, it explodes. It brings out a little explosion. And then she's covered. She just looks at her body and goes, there's no way I'm pulling all these out, you know? There's absolutely no way I'm pulling out every single one of these from my body. And in the end, she kind of, I think what it leaves it with is the knife against her throat, doesn't it? Her own knife. She's got a knife against her own throat.
Yeah, she's going to kill herself.
Ready to commit suicide. And you see all these dogs appearing down the street, coming together. Oh, God, like, what a horrible, what a dark, dark episode.
I mean, like, one dog is bad enough, but imagine having to deal with, like, multiple of the and they probably work better in packs as well. I'd say it does. No, like, I think it's, to me, I when I watched it the first time, I wasn't crazy about it, but then as I kind of thought about it, I kind of began to like it more. So I think it's one that you need to watch maybe two or three times. There's just a lot to think with it. So I think when you just, after just watching the first time, your initial response mightn't be amazing. I think that's it, isn't it? It's just that there's a lot to think for.
I liked all of these shows. I really did. I liked all these episodes. I thought they were great. I wasn't disappointed at all from season four as a whole, but I thought we just need a little bit more information maybe in this one.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that's what was lacking from it. But, okay. Final episode. Black Museum. This kind of felt like an ending of the whole series to me, you know?
Yeah.
Did it feel like, not the series as in just season four. I felt like
the whole thing. Yeah.
I think this is like the end of Black Mirror. And I don't think that's the case, but did it feel like that for you?
I hadn't thought about it, but then someone was speaking about it, or I read something about it, how they thought that this might be his way of ending it, and how he was, it was almost as if he was the man in the museum, and he had like all of his old episodes in like a vault, and it was kind of like, they, like we were kind of hers or something, you know, or there's this whole thing of it was just all of the things that he had done and built, and now he was saying farewell. I can see that, yeah. It does make a bit of sense. I've not heard if he's going to make any more, but it wouldn't be a bad way to end everything. I mean, no, I obviously yet, want him to make more, but
oh, it's not renewed yet, but he has said he'd love to do more. So
I hope he will.
Yeah. So as soon as he writes, obviously the big thing about this is he has to do the writing first. That's why they take 2 years to come out, don't they? Because he's gonna do the writing before he writes them, and then it all gets commissioned, and then it gets all shot and produced stuff. So it's a lengthy period. But hopefully he's already writing whilst these are being produced.
I hope so as well. Yeah.
You know? But I this one though, it has Letitia Wright in it, who as if you've seen Black Panther, she's Shuri, she's absolutely amazing in it. And she's from England. And I think they've said that she's from Wolverhampton as well, brought up here. So for me, I love her. I think she's amazing. And she is so good in this episode. Like, obviously for three quarters of it, she's not got much to do because she's being told three different stories. Now, Si, go through some of those with me, will you? If we can, because obviously.
Yeah, so.
I mean, the ending is that those three stories get built up into one, don't they? But yeah, let's go through the first one.
Yeah, so she just arrives at this, she's in this kind of like vast American highway. And often in those parts, and often over there, they kind of have these weird little kind of museums and things that just in the middle of nowhere. So she obviously, she walks in, and we see in all these different boxes and stuff, we kind of see little things from past episodes of the show, like the mask from White Bear and a few other little bits. And the owner of the shop, Rollo Haynes, played by Douglas Hodge. He's been in a few weird things, I think, hasn't he? I recognize his face. I'm not sure what he's been in, but, so he starts to talk to her about all the different artifacts that are there. And the first thing he talks about is this kind of, a brain implant that lets him share the feelings of the people that is it. They put on this kind of little helmet thing, and it allows him to feel what they feel.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Fucking insane.
This guy, by the way, that you mentioned, has been in Unforgotten. He's been in Penny Dreadful. He was really good in that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Robert Arnott. And then he's in Night Manager as well, if you've seen that. I haven't seen it, but he's
okay.
In that. So he's been in quite a few good things. But like you said, that was
so he's
freaky.
What does he do? He's just basically a doctor, isn't he? Or a surgeon.
So this guy is kind of like the technological guy, but then, yeah, he gives options to like doctors and says, you know, do you want to try this out? You could help your patients. Patients that you don't know how to diagnose or can't speak, you'll be able to diagnose them. immediately.
So yeah, so so I suppose the idea is if he can feel what they feel, he'll be able to know how to, he'll know the best way to fix it. But then he starts to get kind of, oh, and then he feels when he puts it on his wife when they have sex. So he has like a female and a male orgasm at once, and he kind of starts to become, he basically becomes hooked on the pain then, isn't it? Over time,
it's disgusting.
He starts to like the pain.
Yeah, he puts it on his,
the pain, and
he puts it on his fucking girlfriend and starts beating her instead of strangling her basically, first the thing was that he was getting the pleasure of both. So if she came and he came, he would get both. Oh God, it was like, what the fuck is this? This is fucking weird as hell. And then obviously it got too far where he got addicted to the rush.
Didn't something happen where he felt the pain of a person who was about to die in hospital, and that rush was so big that he basically thrived that pain and that fear.
Yeah. And he kept on taking it from everyone, even people that were dying, it was going over the top.
Yeah.
And in the end, they had to take it off him, didn't they?
Yeah, he tried to inflict pain on himself, but I think it was the kind of the fear of the pain. And because if you inflict pain on yourself, you know you're about to have that pain, so you don't have that same fear factor. So then didn't he like, he went and found like, he was like drilling a homeless person's head in or something, Jesus, at the end when the cops found him, and he was in this like, and he was like having like an orgasm basically. He was like, it was horrible, wasn't he? He was making this horrible like a moaning sound and putting the drill. That was one of the most disgusting parts of Black Mirror, I think, wasn't it? It was absolutely horrendous.
It's a horrendous, the whole thing is,
yeah,
it really is Black Museum.
It's really
honestly
dark,
really dark episode, but a really good one. So the second one was to do with a couple, wasn't it?
Yeah, so the wife dies basically. There's just
is on a deathbed. She's pretty much lost everything. All she can do, they've got some technology where she can say yes or no. Green and red, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
And he's like really excited that, oh, you know, do you want to listen to your boy? Because they've got a son. Do you want to listen to your boy sing or in a play or whatever? Do you want to watch it? And she'd be like, yes. But she can't do anything else. She's basically a vegetable, isn't she? She turned into a vegetable, basically, in bed. So she can't do anything. And this guy, Douglas Hodge, who's Rollo Haynes, the technology guy, says, we can do better. So this is now really weird. It's like a cookie in your brain. So the person lives with inside you, can discuss things with you, can feel everything you feel. Now, this raised loads of shit with me. Like, I was like, and luckily, like, they did go through it. Like, he goes, I haven't masturbated for a month and a half because of you. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, imagine having to share. I mean, I hope my girlfriend.
Why would you consent to this?
But, you know, I don't want my girlfriend in my. You want to have your own time? It's crazy. I mean, it's.
Why did he consent to it?
He wouldn't be able to do anything. Wasn't it that he basically wanted her to be able to have a relationship with their kid, I suppose, and he kind of thought, you know, because she can feel when he hugs the kid, she can feel it. So
I think
wasn't that the kind of idea? I suppose
it was. Yeah, he could first he could feel everything, but I think.
But you remember, he's reading like a graphic novel, and she's like, he's still on that page. Did you pick up on what the book was that he read? It's it was an animated version of that 50,000 merits episode.
Right.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was like, oh, that's weird.
I thought, you know what was interesting? The message I got from it was that the way he was like, yeah, I need to think about this. So he wants to think about something, but the green light came on and she made a decision and he gave in immediately. And when he's with his next girlfriend, and they're like, I want to stick it in a teddy bear. You can stick it in a, you can stick it in something else. And she goes, yeah, let's, he's like, oh, I want to think about it. And she goes, no, let's just do it. So both times.
I didn't pick up on that actually. Yeah,
both times he's given in so easy without even discussing it, thinking about it. You put in a consciousness inside a fucking teddy bear. Like, how is that fair? I'd rather you just finish it off. That's just an insignificant life that you can't speak to no one.
It's horrible. It's like the thing in the, it's kind of, it's definitely a bit of
Callista?
A common thread, isn't it?
It's like USS Callista, where, really.
Because it's the same idea where she'll live on, and she's in that bear still that's sitting in the museum, like she that's still her there.
Mm.
She's still alive. I mean, she won't die. I don't know. It was
terrible.
Really messed it in my head. Oh,
I mean, there were so many bits you could talk about. Obviously, they were arguing about stuff, and then he was eating anchovies because she didn't like them, and she'd fucking vomit. You know, when he was doing it, he trying to get. And then they would go and complain, and he paused her for like 2 months.
They put on like a pause button or something into it, wasn't it?
Yeah. In his app. So again, it's all run by an app, so he could pause it, and she was gone. But she would never know how long. For her, it's literally a pause. So as soon as she wakes up, it was like yesterday.
Yeah.
Which is not so bad.
I wasn't sure, did she live on, but was just in like blackness?
No, because if that was the case, she was paused, because if that was the case, it'd be similar to White Christmas, remember?
Yeah.
Where he just leaves her there for a year of like 6 months. Remember?
Yeah.
And tortures her, and then her face and her hair's all messed up. And
can't even process that thought.
It's too much. It's too much. It's scary. But yeah, I thought that was cool. But then in the end, the kid, it's a toy. The kid's not going to give a shit about a toy. And she's then, the funniest bit was when she's got the teddy bear. What's her name? Oh God. Which actress was it? I think it's Yasha Jackson. Her name's Emily. And she's got the teddy bear from the throat against the wall and going, you will do what I tell you to do. It's just dead weird. Like, she's talking to a teddy bear. It must have felt dead weird to act that out. And the teddy bear's like, I love you. You know,
monkey needs a hug.
Monkey needs a hug.
Monkey loves you.
Exactly. And like, she was telling her what to say, and she was totally in control of this. It felt really helpless, and it was horrible. But then obviously, it moves on, and this teddy bear's ended up in... It's illegal now to have any consciousness inside any kind of toy or doll without 5 options. So he's been struck out of his job, and his last resort is to go to celebrities or try and get people that are on death row their consciousness and get money, pay their family a decent amount of money to then, you know, have rights to that. But obviously no one knew how fucking sadistic he was. I mean, go through this, mate. This was disgusting.
Oh, this is horrible. So yeah, so he takes...
It's so dark, this episode.
Huh?
It's so dark.
So it's, so he basically, he takes a prisoner who's on death row. And as you say, he promises that he'll look after his family if he gets the electric chair, and obviously he does, and he then loads his consciousness onto the little thing, and then he puts him into his museum where people can come and electrocute him themselves. So there's just a little, so there's like a kind of a hologram version of him, and he's in an electric chair, and there's a big red button, and people just come along and shock him, to experience what it'd be like to kill someone. So he dies over and over again. And
in a theme parky type of thing, it's horrible.
I presume he feels that pain as if it was real each time.
Exactly. I mean, that's why he turns into like, a vegetable as well.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
No, he puts kind of a, he works out how much time. There's something like, what is it, like 12 seconds or something is the optimum time
10.
that he won't die.
Yeah, it was 10. He basically got paid extra money when he was losing all of his clients, and people were finding out how disgusting this black museum was, that he was getting shut down, that he was basically then giving people that got off on giving other people torture, or people that hated him, or celebrities, you know, to come and do it and pay him a big wad. Remember there was one scene where a guy was putting his hand down his pants. I mean, it was disgusting. This guy was basically getting off on providing torture, and he just said, stop. And then there was another guy who paid him loads of money that went over the 10 seconds. And that's when he destroyed that virtual form then became, you know, that vegetable type state where it couldn't feel anymore. It would just feel the pain and then go back to not talking. But before it could talk, couldn't it? And everything and talk. Oh, just, mate, disgusting.
Sick.
Yeah, but horrible. Obviously, there was a point to you feeling all that shit for, and also the fact that he wasn't even apparently he wasn't even guilty.
Oh man, I could, like,
that was the thing. Like, it turns out Letitia, who's viewing all this, listening to his story, it turns out Letitia's his daughter. She's not English. Yeah. She's got an American accent now, and She's poisoned him, which is brilliant.
Yeah, it's brilliant, isn't it?
Oh my god!
The water,
and then she basically turns the table, doesn't she?
Yeah. So she takes him. She She kills her dad first, right? To kind of
misery. She does it together. So what she does is, because he's dying, just before he dies, like he did to her dad, she sticks that thing on his head because she's qualified now to do all the stuff he did. And she takes his consciousness just before he dies, with the poison. She programs him straight into her dad. So he's now living inside the vegetable dad. And she's like, look, he's felt it so many times, but now that you can feel everything that he feels, I'm going to put this on for 20 seconds and just, you can feel what it's like.
Yeah.
But then guess what? I'm going to get a souvenir of my own, so you feel it forever. Because imagine how many people must have taken that consciousness of her dad, and he's feeling that pain forever.
That's the thing that I was going to actually ask you about. So I wasn't 100% certain when the person took away the little hearing of him screaming. Was that meant to be downloading his consciousness each time?
Yep.
Or was it more
forever just pain? Like,
oh, okay, because I wasn't sure if it was that or if it was just like kind of.
That's why it's disgusting.
That they could look back. Oh god, I thought that's what it was, but I tried to convince myself that maybe it wasn't.
Yeah. That's how dark it was, man.
But it's so like
cruel.
It's just crazy. I mean, even if he did murder a person, I mean, it's such an over the top punishment, isn't it?
To be
tortured over and over. I mean, maybe if they had a picked, so like, you know, Hitler or something, you could kind of go, okay, I can kind of see why it would be such a severe punishment, but it's just crazy, isn't it? It really is.
It is. And like, she basically does the same to him. He gets tortured. She takes the teddy bear. And the big you know, so she takes the teddy bear with the other girl in there. And
loves you.
And Monkey keeps saying Monkey loves you so good. But then in the end, you find out that her mom is in her head, because obviously her mom had to come and witness her dad in this state, and she killed herself. But just before her mom died, she'd taken the consciousness of her. So she basically uploaded it into herself. So she's got her mom walking around with it. I mean, again, so fucking freaky that.
I don't like that. Do you like that? I really don't like that idea.
I can't have anyone living in my head.
No, it'd be, I don't think anyone would want that. It's just horrible, isn't it?
You can't do anything.
No matter what. No.
It's jail. No, it's pretty much putting yourself into a kind of jail sentence, a sentence. Because you've got no privacy. That's it. Like you said, there's nothing. It's terrible. But, okay, we covered that. So for you then, quickly, because we've gone over time, we're like an hour and a half in now, and out of the six, then rate them. Which way would you forget everything that's gone, because we rated them, and it's too hard to rate 20 odd shows.
No, it's impossible.
How do you rate these six? Which way would you go?
So I had my favorite was number one, Hang the DJ.
I'll agree with you on that one.
Then Black Museum. Then USS Callister. Then Crocodile. Then Archangel. And then Metalhead.
Okay, so I'm going to go with Hang the DJ number one, USS Callister, Archangel, Black Museum. It's so hard between Crocodile and Metalhead because of the dumbness. A little bit. okay, I'll go Metalhead and then Crocodile because the guinea pig thing just threw me. Yeah. So that's how I
can understand that.
That's how
it's a bit fair enough.
It's a bit dumb. That's how I would rate them. Would you? I mean, so I think we're quite close.
Yeah, not that far off. Yeah. There's no bad one though. I mean, I found it tough to pick that order. You know, I mean, it wasn't like a particularly easy choice, but I think we're on pretty much the same wavelength. Near enough.
Yeah, definitely. So you would definitely be up for another season, though.
I love one. Yeah, I just love the show. I think it's a really good show, and I like how he went back to making a few more episodes in England as well, and based around English actors. Like I think. He could definitely do more. I mean, there's, I don't know, yeah. I'd like more.
I'd love it. It's all going to be down to whether he's, you know, his creative mind is on and he can do more. But we'll be happy to wait, I think, no problem. As long as he keeps doing a few like these, I thought, as a whole, the season was fantastic. It gave you enough darkness, enough like, oh shit, that is a terrible person type. Because that's what normally you get out of these, is someone doing something really heinous. Or something heinous happens to them, and you're like, holy shit. I still think White Christmas is probably my best ever.
Me too, yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be very, very tough to beat that one, yeah, I think.
And I think the Shut Up and Dance again is also one of my favourites as well. So they're going to be still up there for me. But what can I say? Thanks so much again, Si. Another lengthy one in the end. We didn't expect it to go so far, but we ended up talking loads. But I really enjoyed that, mate.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, it was great. Okay, thanks for having me again.
No problem. I'm sure we'll do some more shows that I've got so many to cover. I've got The Sinner, Unabomber, Mindhunter. There's so much I have to cover. I've got so many shows that I need to do. I will find time. AI Pro is taking up so much of it. A rare hour and a half free today to do this. So thank you so much to Si again. I'll be back very, very soon. Keep on checking out everything we're doing. On the AI channel, Rory's now got AI Movie Night, so check out the two on David Fincher movies. So that's right, that's what you did, wasn't it? You were on that one?
I was on that one, yeah.
Yeah, so great. Go check those out.
Pretty good.
And plenty more to come. There's, I think, a comic pod out, and I'm sure they'll be doing one soon as well. So, yeah, keep checking out everything on AI channel. Make sure you check out AI Pro. If you are a Liverpool fan, which you most likely will be, amfordindex.com/join for all exclusive content and basically legends, pros, coaches and statistical analysis, everything that you need. Check that out and I'll be back soon on The Box.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.